What an amazing couple that the Lord has blessed us with. And thank you guys so much for being here with Harlem today. We have the Persings here as well from the campus ministry. Mark is playing guitar. So thank you guys for being here as well. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. You probably thought I would not preach, but I am preaching, and I'm going to preach a long sermon, so you may get out of here about 2 o'clock today, all right? And if you have something to say against that, you take it up with the Lord. No, I just want to say this. I hope I make it through this sermon, because Mother's Day is an important time for me. I honor all the mothers who are mothers physically, meaning that you had children naturally and or adoption and or spiritually. We honor you today. I'm going to share about my mother as the introduction to my sermon. Her name was Alice Kirkpatrick. She gave birth to me 55 years ago. She nursed me and she raised me. I was the youngest of 11. And some or many would say I was spoiled. I don't think so. My wife is shaking her head, yes. She always had her children in church. My father died when I was 7. And so she raised us. She was a widow. Not only did she raise the 11 children, she raised grandchildren. It seemed like she always had somebody's kid over at her house, other than me. You know, this woman would cook food and give to the neighborhood. Like, people would come over to the house and leave our house with a plate. And I'm like, Mom, why are you giving our food away? But that's just how she was. She was a small lady, about 5 feet tall, but she brought a big punch. And I remember all the whippings. See, these days you can't like touch kids. You can't even look at them wrong. But back in my day, my mom would say, go get me a hickory switch. Does anybody know what a hickory switch is? A few of you know. See, the other of you like, I have no idea what that is. All right, how about a belt? Well, you know what a belt is, all right? How about a drop cord? All right, anything she could get her hands on. And I remember she would tell me and my brother, we were always in trouble. She would say, go get me a hickory. And I see my brother, so I imitated him, right? He brought back a hickory, a switch about this big. And she said, boy, you better go get me a hickory switch. And so he had to bring back a log. And she would beat us. But she was a small lady in stature, but just big in every other aspect of her life. She loved deeply. She wasn't the affectionate type. I remember, I become a disciple and, so we learned to hug. Right? I learned to hug in the kingdom. We hug everybody. Even when you don't want to be hugged, we hug you, right? So I go home after hugging everybody and I'm hugging Mom. She like looking at me like, what you doing? I'm like, I'm new and improved. But anyway. And I remember, after leaving home, living, starting my own life, and I would come back home, and even, you know, because I played college football, and so when I would come home, even the times that I lost weight, she would say, "Boy, you look like you're getting bigger and bigger." I said, "Mom, I'm actually losing weight." "Well, it don't look like it." Anyway, so that's just how mom, this is just how my mom was. But then she started to get sick. She started developing dementia. And she passed away on Thursday, May 19th, 2016. And she was 88 years old. She was my hero, and she still is my hero. There's something unique about the creation of mothers. God broke the mold when he took that rib from Adam and closed up that place. And we're going to talk about a mother today. The same passage that the Gutierrez shared today, we get to see something unique about the mother of Jesus. In John chapter 19, turn your Bibles to that place, please. And I'll start there in just a second. Let us go to God in prayer. Father, thank you for mothers. And I'm not saying all of them were good, but thank you for the creation of mothers, because many of them, if not most of them, did the best they could. And many of them who are disciples do the very best they can. And I pray that our children and even us as adults will appreciate even more your creation of mothers. We need you and we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 19, verse 25. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. The title of the message today is simply this: "This is your mother. This is your son." I have three short points this morning. The first one is a painful moment. The second one is love and respect. And the third one will be a new family, a painful moment. I want us to think about what's happening in John chapter 19. If you can picture yourself there at the foot of the cross, you have Jesus with two criminals being crucified right beside him. But then Jesus is struggling for his life, struggling to breathe. And who's there? His mother. Could you imagine what's going through her heart? So you have a dying son. You have a bewildered disciple, right? The one who loves him, John. And you have a mother whose heart is breaking. A mother whose heart is breaking. And I remember years seeing my mother, well, you know, with brothers, six brothers or five brothers, however many I have, you know, and sisters, however many I have, you know, doing things that were bad and getting in trouble at times and being arrested and things like that. I saw the anguish those things caused my mother. I was a good child and get into trouble. But I want us to think about this. Mary is there watching her son being crucified. Mary knew suffering. She gave birth in a filthy stable. When Harriet was trying to kill her baby boy, she had to flee. She was forced to be a refugee in Egypt. She watched a whole nation misunderstand and taunt her son. And now she stands at the foot of the cross, suffering again, as she watches her beautiful boy being crucified for crimes he did not commit. For crimes he did not commit. I'm sure she thought about Simeon's prophecy. In Luke chapter 2, turn there if you will. Luke chapter 2, verse 33. Verse 33 says, "This, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your soul as well.'" Wow. So the prophecy of Simeon was telling the father and the mother, well, actually, the father and mother was there. They were marveled about the things that were being talked about Jesus. But then the Bible specifically said that Simeon came over to Mary. Like, I'm like, where was Joseph? Why didn't he pull Joseph and Mary aside? Why did he just pull Mary aside? But anyway, the scriptures say he said to Mary, "Your son is special. He is destined for greatness. He is a world changer. But it's going to be painful for you, because people are going to speak against him. They're going to try to kill him. And eventually, they will succeed. In a spear, a sword will pierce your heart when it happens." And so at the foot of the cross, Mary's heart is broken. It's broken. The takeaway from point number one. This week, I want you to thank Jesus for always knowing what you need when you may not. Because this is the deal. Even though Mary was in agony with a broken heart and probably felt abandoned to some degree because her son is gone. Oh, he's dying. But he's dying on the cross. And he had the wherewithal to say, "Stop for a moment." Mother, today, this is your son. I'm going to make sure you're taken care of. He's dying on the cross, and he knows what his mother needs. And he says to John, "Today, this is your mother." And the Bible said from that day forward, she was with John. She was taken care of. So Jesus, no matter what's going on in our lives, he knows what we need. Point number two, simply love and respect. His mother, the love of his mother, Even her dying moments, Jesus has concern for her well-being. I'm going to have the tech team to play this song. And I want you to listen to it. And many of you may know this song. And I'll start the song when I'm ready to start my sermon back up. But I want you to listen to this song, please. She kissed her baby boy. She kissed the Son, the face of God. Jesus loved and respected his mother. That's why he wanted to take care of her. He could have easily, now why didn't he ask his brothers or his sisters to take care of the mother? I'll tell you why in just a few minutes. But I want to say this. To be a child, to have a mother, is something special. And I want all of us, whether you are 55 years old or whether you are 5 years old, your mother is still your mother. And when your mother tells you something to do, I don't care how old you are, you need to do it. Right? If my mother was still living and she told me to do something, even though back in the day when I was rebellious, I didn't listen, I learned to listen. She'd tell me to do something. I'm 55 years old, I'm going to do it. And I just want to encourage the younger folk. I know you go through a time of rebellion, but listen to your mothers. Listen to your mothers. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord as his representatives. This is the Amplified version. For this is right and just. Honor, esteem, and a value as precious. Your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you will live long on the earth. I want to read it from the NLT. The NLT version says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. And you may say, well, I'm not a disciple, so I don't need to listen to my parents. No, God created you so you belong to him. It says, listen to the Lord, but you will belong to him, for it is right thing to do. Honor your mother and your father. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and your mothers, things will go well for you, and you will live long on the earth. So if you do not honor, it doesn't say this, but if you do not honor, you're going to die young. No, I'm just kidding. You know, it's interesting, this word obedience or obey translate in the Greek as listen intently. Listen intently. It also means, from the Greek, to listen with the attitude of love and affection and gratitude and respect. So you don't just listen and do what they say just because they say it. You have to do what they say with a great attitude. That's what the word obedience means. That you're doing it because you're fired up to do it. Now, I know that takes a little work to get there, but that's what the word means. In other words, when Jesus obeyed his parents, he did it with the right heart. Why? Because he made the conscious decision to do it with the right heart. It was a decision. In Luke chapter 2, verse 51, it says, Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. See, Jesus learned to grow up, and he learned obedience. That means loving, listening, showing gratitude, being respectful, and honoring his mother. And you could see that at the cross, that he honored his mother. Takeaway from point number two. This week, thank God for your mother. Or thank God for being a mother, because he created you for that. Point number three, a new family. You know, like I was saying earlier, why didn't Jesus entrust the care of his mother to James or to Joseph or to Simon or to Judas or to one of the sisters that are not recorded in Scripture? Why didn't he entrust her to any of those guys? Why did he decide to entrust her to John? I think this is one reason. In John chapter 7, verse 5, it says, "For even his own brothers did not believe in him." That's a hard teaching. Why didn't he entrust his mother and the care of her to his siblings, but found someone outside of the nucleus of the family to entrust his mother to? Because Jesus was instituting something profound at the foot of the cross. Let's check it out. I think it's something profound that's going on right here at the foot of the cross between John and Mary. See, John and Mary understood the mission of Jesus. They understood the formation of what God was trying to do. And so here again, let's read John chapter 19 and verse 26. It says, "When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciples whom he loved nearby, he said to his mother, 'Dear woman, here is your son,' and to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.'" From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. I believe that was the beginning of the church. I believe that was the beginning of a new family, a new community. That right there was the beginning. Created in the shadow of the cross. through the blood of Jesus. While his blood is being shed, a new home, a new community, a new life, a new family is born. It is there at the foot of the cross where Jesus sheds his blood, where a woman embraces a boy, and where a boy embraces a woman. It is the forming of the church. Together at the foot of the cross, sharing the blood of Christ, we see the continuing work of the church, that we are a part of, the beginning work of a church that we are a part of. It began at the foot of the cross. I know the day of Pentecost kicks it off, but we get to see something unique right there at the foot of the cross. Mary and John form the church in their relationship with each other. They offered each other comfort. They strengthen one another. They encourage each other. They shared hospitality. These, I believe, are the hallmarks of the church. Love, comfort, support, hospitality. This is what Jesus had in mind when he formed the church from the cross that day. When he said, "Woman, this is your son, and son, this is your mother. You guys love each other. You stand there for each other. You be in there." Listen, there should be no closer family than this family right here. Today, we should be grateful for our blood relatives. We should be grateful for our blood relatives. And I mean the physical ones and the spiritual ones. The blood relatives, the ones that become relatives because of the blood of Jesus. I'm grateful for you. I want us to spend an incredible day encouraging, taking our time to encourage our mothers, the mothers that are around us. Let's take some time today and do that. But not just today. Mother's Day should be every day. Because I see how my mother lays, I see how my wife lays her life down for her kids. And sometimes they only, you know what, I ain't going to even go there. I'm just saying, though. Appreciate the women in your life. If you have a mother, she's still alive. Don't take it for granted. Do not take her for granted. If she's not in the city, call her and spend some quality time with her. I wish I could do that. The takeaway, and I'm done. I'm sorry. This week, in prayer, thank God for your blood relatives, physically and spiritually, and take time to think them by name.
To God be the glory.